The Trump administration has lifted its ban on New Yorkers using the Global Entry Trusted Traveler Program, a ban that began in February.
It is at the exact same time that we know COVID is coming in on European flights. And now you packed people into waiting rooms and on lines who didn't need to be on the line because you were playing politics. How do you quantify that?
The Department of Homeland Security blocked New Yorkers from enrolling because the state offered driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the Trump administration lied in court filings purely for political gain. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut and New York region. Coming up, COVID-free nursing homes, a police accountability bill, and COVID-19 in group homes. I'm Charles Lane. State officials say a, quote, fair number of Connecticut nursing homes have been COVID-free for at least 2 weeks. Patrick Scahill reports that means they're now free to stop testing residents and staff for COVID-19.
In June, Governor Ned Lamont issued an executive order allowing nursing homes to pause testing if they hit that 2-week mark. Barbara Cass is with the State Department of Public Health.
We do have a fair number of nursing homes who have reached the threshold. So we are looking through the 214 nursing homes that we have. We're trying to get a better understanding as to what the actual number is.
A spokesperson for the DPH did not immediately clarify how many nursing homes are now cleared by Lamont's order to pause testing. But some residents and family members don't want testing to stop so soon, says Mairead Painter. She's Connecticut's long-term care ombudsman, who advocates for elder care residents and their families.
They feel until there's a period of time when the risk is so low that visitation can begin, that they would like to see testing continue. So that's what I'll continue to advocate for on their behalf.
While testing at some nursing homes is free to stop, others have struggled to begin. Lamont ordered staff testing to begin no later than mid-June, but during a Facebook Live with Painter on Wednesday, Cass acknowledged some facilities missed that goal by weeks.
There may be a very small number. It was under 10 homes last week that had not done the actual testing.
Cass says they anticipate every single nursing home will have initiated testing this week. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Patrick Scahill.
Connecticut's House of Representatives has passed a police accountability bill that would, among other things, revamp the agency tasked with training and certifying police officers in Connecticut, establish an independent investigatory body to look into police use of force, and strengthen municipal civilian police review boards. Bridgeport Democrat Stephen Stratsform is one of the bill's authors.
We've tried to put forward a package that really can be a model for the nation to follow in terms of how we have community involvement, engagement, and oversight of law enforcement in our state.
As part of a marathon special session, lawmakers debated the police accountability bill, including controversial protections for police officers from civil liability, for 7 hours. The bill now goes to the state Senate, where Stratsform is confident that co-author Gary Winfield can move it onto the governor's desk. Coming up, COVID and people with disabilities. But first, these headlines and a message from our sponsor.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, now offering more testing for COVID-19. If you think you need a test, call 833-621-0600 or visit hartfordhealthcare.org/testing.
Sales tax revenue in New York was down over 27% in this year's second quarter. That's a loss of $1.2 billion compared to last year. New York State Comptroller says New York City was down almost 35%, while most regions in the state started to show improvement in collecting sales tax. New York lawmakers have wrapped up work on bills ranging from automatic voter registration to new public holidays celebrating Juneteenth and Abolition Commemoration Day. Also passed is a law shielding nursing homes from lawsuits amid the COVID-19 pandemic, and another to make it easier to vote in the November 6th election. Several bills, including a moratorium on facial recognition programs at schools, will eventually head to the desk of Governor Andrew Cuomo, who then faces a 10-day deadline to act. The Yale School of Medicine is one of 150 groups conducting vaccine trials for COVID-19. It says it will prioritize diverse and underserved communities in those trials, focusing on African Americans and people of color who have been disproportionately left out of many of these studies and yet disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Yale doctors say some vaccines may be more effective than others among certain groups. People with disabilities are not guaranteed the right to live where they choose. Yet the coronavirus is proving that congregated settings like nursing facilities can be deadly. Noelle Evans explains the fight for that civil right is far from over.
Felipe Rivera goes by Flip. He's 34 years old and has cerebral palsy. He wears a tattoo on his arm, uses a wheelchair, and communicates through a device called a Dynavox.
I also use a head pointer for my personal PC. I cannot use my hands. I rely on people to help me with getting dressed, feeding, bathing, etc.
He's been living at Monroe Community Hospital since he was 20. Before that, he says he lived with his mom, who was struggling with substance abuse. She couldn't care for him, so his uncle placed him in the nursing facility. He says it's never felt like a home. For 10 years, he's been trying to get out. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, more than 1,400,000 people with disabilities lived in nursing facilities between 2014 and 2018. About 40.6 million people with disabilities do not live in institutions. Kelly Buckland is the executive director of the National Council on Independent Living, an advocacy group for people with disabilities. He says there are two main hurdles people have to clear to get out of an institutional setting. The first is housing.
I mean, in order to get out, you got to have someplace to go. And so that's one barrier that a lot of people run into. The other barrier, the other main barrier, I should say, is support.
Support, as in home aides, jobs that often go unfilled and are what Buckland calls low paid, with no hazard pay and with a high turnover rate. Buckland also says that people with disabilities don't have a recognized right to live outside of institutions. Bruce Starling is with the Center for Disability Rights and a member of ADAPT, a national grassroots organization for disability rights. He's part of a coalition that helped craft the Disability Integration Act with U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer. The bill would ensure that states couldn't force anyone to be institutionalized for long-term care. It also would recognize the right to independent living for those with disabilities.
We flipped it around and said, essentially, that if people are forced to go to a congregate setting to get their needs met, that they're denied an independent life.
But there's been no action on the bill. It's stalled in committee. Senator Schumer's office says that getting into and out of an institution are usually decisions made between a guardian and providers who manage a person's care plan. For Flip Rivera, part of his challenge was proving to a judge that he didn't need a guardian.
I had to hire a lawyer, go to court and write a letter to prove that I could make important decisions for myself without a guardian.
Rivera's gotten help from the Center for Disability Rights and his friend, Jensen Caraballo, who spent 3 years fighting his own battle for independence. Caraballo now lives in his own apartment, where he's been for 9 years. He works as a peer mentor for others trying to live independently, including Rivera. Rivera says he had his eyes set on a place where he could move in May, but complications emerged with the coronavirus, and his process has slowed to a halt. It also has for the Disability Integration Act. What happens if it doesn't pass? That worry keeps Bruce Darling up at night, especially if states make budget cuts to services for people with disabilities.
When the economic downturn hits us hard, we're going to restrict access to community-based services. Folks will be forced into institutions where they will die, except they will, none of us on the outside will be aware of it or care.
For WSHU News, I'm Noelle Evans.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. Here at WSHU, we think local news is important, and we're glad that you think it's important too. Thank you for your support. I'm Charles Lane. I'll be back on Monday.